the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. I love this life, living for the Lord, even with ups and downs and good days and what we might say bad days. Wouldn't want to live any other way. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, beginning there. Peter, writing to the church, says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." That's you and me. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are." I want you to tell your neighbor, say, pay attention here. He's talking to you. Peter is writing to you. "But ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a royal priesthood. But ye are an holy nation. But ye are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He says, you need to remember, in time past, you were not a people, but are now. Stop dwelling on what you were and rejoice in what you are now. Receive what you are now. Celebrate what you are now. Realize what you are now. You were not a people, but are now the people of God. Oh Lord, I pray you would help me to preach, teach. Pray you would help us to hear and receive. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We give you the glory and the praise. If you would, just put your Bibles or whatever down and just give the Lord one more resounding hand clap of praise in this place today. I want to preach, "But ye are." But ye are. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, it's been over 100 years now since this latter rain and this revival of one God, Jesus name, baptism, Holy Ghost movement started falling in what we would refer to as this latter rain movement. And I just want to start out, lest anyone would mistakenly think that maybe this thing is beginning to fizzle out, I want to tell you and remind you that our organizational national youth conferences, this is just our youth conferences, are now having to be held in football stadiums to hold the tens of thousands of attendees. There were 40,000 young people gathered in St. Louis this past year, just there worshiping God. I'm talking about this thing's not dying out. This thing's getting stronger. And I will tell you, those meetings are not getting stagnant. They are getting more powerful each time they come together. Our young people are being filled and refilled and anointed and set on fire with the Holy Ghost. They are catching vision and receiving callings for their lives. And I think that is worthy of giving God praise right now. We praise you, God, because this is getting stronger. And I'm here to tell the church this morning that this, at this critical juncture, at this midnight hour, when end of age prophecy is being fulfilled almost, I was going to say on a daily basis, but it's almost on an hourly basis, that we are seeing this Bible that we have preached and embraced and studied for years about what would take place just prior to the return of Jesus. We are seeing those prophecies be filled almost hourly. At this critical juncture, when the world is standing right this very moment on the brink of a third world war, when all of hell is coming against the world, and all of hell seems to be coming against the church and families and marriages and our children, I just want to tell you that this is no time for the church of the living God to experience an identity crisis. We are the church of the living God. We are the bride of Christ. We are the spirit filled entity in these last days. We are the only thing standing between hell and souls. Come on, I said, we're the only thing. And if we forget who we are, we will fail to do what we've been called to do. I came to this pulpit this morning to give us a little wake-up call and a little reminder of who we are, because I think the devil's trying to cause some of us to forget who we are. Somebody said amen. Amen. We are the people of God. We can say that and not sound like we're somehow bragging. We can say that and not sound like we've fallen into this mindset of we don't want to seem too proud, and we don't want to seem like we're bragging or we're putting anybody down. We're not putting anybody down by saying we are the people of God. We are His people. He has bought us and purchased us and saved us and brought us out, and He's given us His name. Amen. Matthew said, and he recorded it in chapter 16, Jesus' words to Peter in verse 18, when he said to Peter, you're Peter, and on this rock, he said, I will build my church. Build my church. And he said, this is what the Bible says. This is in red letters. This is Jesus promised this. He said, the gates of hell, the very gates of hell, even the gates of hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. That he says, I'm building it. I'm building upon the rock my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. That's who we are. And somebody said amen. Jesus said, catch this now. Jesus said, the gates of hell can't stop us. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I just tell you, the devil today, he wants us to believe that we have to defend the gates of heaven. And I just want to tell you, that's not what the Bible says. He wants us to believe that once we were saved and born again and brought into the kingdom of God, that we somehow, we're inside the gates of heaven, and now it's our job to take up arms and put on the armor, and now we're just trying to defend the gates of heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. We aren't just inside the gates of the kingdom of God trying to survive, trying to maintain, trying to defend. Let me tell you that the kingdom of God is just fine. The kingdom of God is just fine. His church is just fine. And I don't ever want to fail God and walk away, but can I tell you, if I were to walk away from this truth, God's church would go right on marching on, and it would not miss a step, because God's church is just fine. It's predestined to be victorious. It's predestined to go to heaven. His church is okay. I don't have to defend the church. And I don't have to defend the kingdom of God. It's not going to fail. Trying to survive and maintain and defend. No, his kingdom is fine. His church is fine. It's just fine. Our enemy wants us to believe that hell is attacking the church so that we go into this kind of a defense mode. But the Bible says that the gates of hell, now catch what the Bible is saying here. Gates represent that part of the wall where people come and go. Gates are part of the city wall. Gates don't travel and gates don't move. Gates are stationary. Gates are what come under attack when an army that is on the move comes against it. So Jesus didn't say that the gates of heaven are going to withstand an attack of hell. Jesus said the gates of hell are not going to withstand an attack from the kingdom of God. So we've got to march and fight and go get back. I preached about it Wednesday night. We got to go pursue what the devil has ran off with. We're going for our lost family. We're going for our lost children. We're going for our prodigal sons and daughters. Is anybody going to help me today and believe that what we've lost, we can go get back? Stop weeping. Stop weeping. Stop being depressed. Stop being discouraged. I'm talking to you, child of God. Stop hanging your head. Stop acting like all is lost. You are part of the church of the living God, and the very gates of hell cannot prevail against what you are part of. We are to come against the gates of hell. And when we do, we shall be victorious. It's not a question there. It's a promise. Jesus already said it. It's going to happen. Amen. Jesus said, he went on to say to Peter, and I will give unto thee the keys. Everybody say keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus is basically just saying here, kingdom mentality he's casting, kingdom vision. In kingdoms, when you have the key, you have authority, you have power. Whoever has the key locks and unlocks doors, gates, bars, prisons, shackles. Whatever has somebody, you can bind something and you can loose something. Come on, somebody. And Jesus said, I am transferring that power that I have. I am giving you full authority. He said to Peter, I am handing you some keys. You're going to stand there on the day of Pentecost and you're going to open a door of salvation to the Jews. You're going to stand there at Cornelius' house. You're going to stand there in the Samaritans. You're going to open a door to the Samaritans. You're going to go in Acts chapter 10 to Cornelius' house and you're going to open the door with the keys. You're going to open it to the Gentiles. You're going to open it. But he wasn't just talking to Peter. He was talking to his church upon the rock. He's going to build the church, and he's going to give the church keys, and we have authority in our prayer lives. We have authority in our walk with God. You don't have to be bound by anything. That's eye-opening for a lot of people in the church. But we don't have to be bound by anything. We just need to go fishing for the keys over some things. Come on now. Well, I guess, you know, my psychiatrist said that I'm fill in the blank, and that's just what I'm going to be. That's not how, you don't have to be that. Well, when I was a little kid, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and this always happened to me, and so now I just, you don't have to be that. My husband always said this and beat me down, and he was just verbally abusive and all these things. And now you don't have to continue in that. What was doesn't have to be. what happened to you is just that. It happened to you, but you've got some keys. And you're able to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that thing in my mind that's trying to attack me. I bind that thing, that depression, that anxiety, that confusion, that discouragement. I bind it in the name of Jesus. We got to go fishing for some keys and understand that we've got authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the Bible says, if you bind it on earth, that's the key. We forget we got to do some things down here on this earth. When I pray, I know there's some people say, I just don't feel like praying. If I just felt like praying, I rarely feel like when I first get started praying. I'll be honest with you. I know there's some people say, they're giddy. They can't wait. It's time to go pray. Now, there's days that I feel that way, but many days that's not, and that's why I need to go pray. And I rarely have ever thought, man, I can't wait. Oh, counting down like some people do their vacations, 30 days, 20 days, and I'm going on a fast. We don't do that. Fasting ain't fun. It's an affliction to our body and our soul. We're bringing some things down under subjection. So these things that we are to do in earth, they're not these. We're not floating. These aren't soaring moments when we come to prayer. Oh, God, here I am, Lord. I'm tired and I'm weary, but I need to pray. I'm under attack and I need to pray. I've been dealing with this and I need to pray. God, my flesh has been rising up. I need to fast, and here I am. And you're not, come on, be honest. You're not soaring. You're not getting up on Monday morning. Yeah, I'm going to fast. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, I'm going to fast. Oh, yeah. No, you're, okay, no food today. And when I'm fasting, I'm not always celebrating it. I'm walking in it. I'm embracing it. But I'm just saying it's things that we do here in this body on this earth. And he says, when you do it in the earth, whatever you bind on earth, heaven. This is a kingdom mentality. This is a kingdom principle. You got a key that represents locks. He says, now here's, it's a spiritual thing, see? So it's not a physical lock. So heaven has to back you up on this. When you say, Satan, I bind you, these thoughts. I just had a conversation with somebody recently. They were in my office. We were talking about some things they were dealing with. They just began to vent. And that's okay to vent sometimes. And especially in a safe place with your pastor, you can vent. But as they begin to vent, they begin to share. It was all negative, just negative thoughts and irrational thoughts and lying thoughts. And they were thinking, when I was a kid, this happened, and now I think this. And now every time this happens, this is bad, and that's bad. And I just feel like this, and I feel like that. They're just sinking lower and lower. Every sentence they said just brought them lower and lower. And I said, okay, stop right there. Hang on. Wait, stop right there. Let's... Instead of dealing with all of, because people, when they get venting, they throw paragraphs at you, not sentences. Chapters. This happened, that happened, this happened, this happened. Now this is going on. I don't feel. Slow down. Let's take the last sentence you just said. Let's put it under the microscope of God's word. I feel like a loser. Stop. Let's put that under the microscope of God's word. It's either true or it's a lie. Now, if we study it and examine it and put it under the microscope and we come to the conclusion that you're a loser, I'll be the first one to say, all right, brother loser, But never have I taken somebody in the church who's born again, put it under the microscope of God's word, and when we're all finished with it, come to the conclusion that they are a loser. What we discover is the enemy wants you to believe you are a loser. The enemy wants you to believe you're responsible for everything going wrong. But the devil is a liar. Your feelings are liars. Your heart will mislead you. Your emotions will take you the wrong way. But when we bring it...
When we bring it into alignment with the Word of God, you're not what the devil says. You are what God says. You are part of the church of the living God, and the gates of hell can't prevail against you. And if you bind it on earth, but you got to stop and you got to bind it. Now that means you got to confront it. And I told this brother, I said, you got to confront lying thoughts. Stop rehearsing them. Stop repeating them. Stop giving them place. Stop every time you get somebody's ear talking about what a loser you are and how bad life is and how things are going wrong. Stop it. And you've got to take that and bring it into subjection to the Word of God. Cast down imaginations. Bring under subjection every thought that is not of God, and bring that thing down and say, I'm going to bind you in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to loose the truth of who I am into my life. I'm a child of God. I'm a bride of Christ. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a victor and not a victim. I'm a conqueror. I'm not conquered. That's who you are. That's who you are. The devil's lying to you. Your flesh is lying to you. Your emotions are lying to you. This world is lying to you. But this word, you come back at 2 o'clock, I'm going to talk about the truth. This is what matters. This Bible brings it all back to center. We got to learn to do this. Wait a minute. Let me fish for the key. Devil, you're trying to tell me this, cause me to believe that. And the more we talk like that and act like that and think like that, the lower we get. Wait a minute, what's the Word of God say about this? I love that song we sang, that last song. That's Bible. May His favor be upon you. May His blessings be upon you. And we got this whole world spitting curses at us, vomiting their nasty worldviews on us. I mean, it's just really, isn't that how you feel when you walk through this stuff and you see it on TV, you hear it on the radio, you walk through it in the shopping center, it just gets on you, it brings you down. But then I get into the Word of God and I confront that. This is a key here, see, and the key says, wait a minute, I can bind that. I can shackle you and unshackle you. And Jesus said, if you do it on earth, it shall be done in heaven. In other words, when whatever you say here, He's going to back you up there. As long as you're using the right key. Now, you don't get to just spew out your philosophies, your ideologies, your political views. No, but when you say, here's what the Word says, I'm not under, I'm on top. I'm not beneath, I'm on top. I'm not the tail, that's the Word of God. I'm the head. I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm victorious. I am saved. Let me make a suggestion as your pastor. Less time on all that other stuff and more time in this. You'll feel better. You'll walk stronger. Come on now. You get a better view, a better perspective. So let me ask you, don't say it out loud, but how much time a day do you spend? I didn't say how many chapters do you read. I don't care. I told you the other night I might take part of my Bible reading time, I might only get a few verses because I'm trying to digest it, chew it up, savor it, let it speak to me. What do you got for me today? But I just spent a few minutes. I spent a little time with Jesus. So let me ask you, husbands, let me ask you, hey, leaders, preachers, trustees, heads of homes, mamas, granddaddies and grandmoms praying for your grandbabies. Don't just watch their lives. See, some of us, we're looking at the lives of those that we're praying for. We get discouraged. Oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Now they're piercing that, and they're tattooing that, and they're talking about this, they're listening to that, and they're watching that, and they're running here, and they're drinking that, and they're snorting that. And we just talk about just same conversations that I just described to you. This is bad. This is bad. Now it's worse. 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 How much time are you spending in the Word that says when we bind it, it's bound? You got some power, brother. You got some power over in your family situation. I'm all for, you know, putting requests out there. Put them on the screen. Ask other people to pray. But that does not negate your responsibility and your privilege to stand in the gap for your family. And brother, I will pray for your family, and I will pray for your family, and I will pray for your family. But ain't nobody going to pray for your family like you can pray for your family. I know every time I stand in my living room and I start marching around that little rug, that big rug my wife's got there in the living room, I start praying. I get to that part of my prayer where I like to walk and pray, and I get laps in when I'm praying. My watch says, "You made your walking goal today." I did that praying. And, well, I walk by my wife's got a shelf over there with all our family's pictures on it, and I'm standing there praying over Tyler and Angel, Mason and Callahan and Riggling. I'm praying specific prayers over my family. I bind every attack of the devil trying to drag my, no, you're not going to get my babies. You're not going to get my family. Now, you're not going to pray that same prayer because you don't have my family's pictures in your living room. They're in my living room. They got my name. They got my DNA. That's my family. You can help me pray, but you won't pray like I pray. So when I take my Bible and I say, now wait a minute, the Word of God says, if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm claiming that over Tyler and Jordan and Abigail. I'm claiming that over my daughters-in-law. I'm claiming that over my son-in-law. I'm claiming that over my grandsons and my granddaughter. And I'm putting that key in that lock, and I'm claiming it. Ain't nobody can do that for my family like I can, and nobody can do it for your family like you can. So pray, claim the Word, bind some things. We gotta get some backbone, folks. Now, I don't think I need to say this, but I'm going to say it just to be clear. I'm not talking about backbone that you go stick your finger in their noses and say, you better straighten up. You know better. I don't mean that. We're confronting personalities rather than spirits, and we got to get back to the spiritual part of this. You're not going to nag anybody out of addiction. And you're not going to nag anybody into the church. You help them all you can, support them all you can, but I'm telling you, if you're not hitting your knees in prayer and you're not spending daily time in the Word of God, then you are really neglecting one of the most powerful resources at our disposal, which is to bind those things that are not of God and loose those things that are. That's what your Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. Now, don't bind stuff without loosing something in its place. Don't bind addiction and go on your way. Bind the spirit of addiction and then loose the power of God to move in their hearts. Loose the Holy Ghost to bring illumination to their minds. God, I'm binding the enemy trying to cause my loved one to be stuck and bound. They're in that cycle. My Lord, they're trying to, they want to do right, but every few days or every few weeks, they're falling back. And God, I'm going to bind that addiction in their life so that you can, now I'm going to loose, Lord, the spirit of light to shine up on their situation. They're going to see clearly now. Maybe for the first time in months or years, they're going to see clearly what they need to do. They're going to come running. And you claim that. You speak that. What you are in essence doing, you're binding and loosing, and heaven's backing you. I know the devil's telling you you're this and that, but the Bible says, but ye are. But ye are chosen. You are royal. You are powerful. You are anointed. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. The gates of hell can't stop us. That's who we are. That's who we are. The locks can't stop us. That's who we are. The bars can't bind us. That's who we are. If we just realize who we are, We've got authority. Do you know what keys represent? They represent power, authority. I've got this little thing here. This is a key. Doesn't look like a key to us old timers, but this is a key. This is a key to a Ram truck sitting just outside the church. And if I told one of you, go get in my truck, you couldn't get in my truck because it's locked. Only person in this building right here that can get lawful access to my truck. Don't try to prove me wrong. I don't want you busting the windows. Is me, because I'm the only one with this key. And there's certain things I can do. If I had an old-fashioned key, I put it in the lock. But I can walk up, and you know, we really, I think this illustrates more powerfully what we have. Key fobs, spiritual keys in the name of Jesus. We don't even have to be there in person. I can push this button right here and lock my truck out there. Push this button and start my truck out there. Push this button, the horn would start honking. Push this button, it'll lock back up. I can do that right here. I don't have to physically be there. And in the spirit, we can pray for somebody who's all the way around the world and bind this and loose that. And in the name of Jesus, I'm binding that in their life. And in the name of Jesus, I'm loosing this. I'm binding depression. I'm loosing God's joy. I'm binding that sickness. I'm loosing healing in their life. We can bind it and we can loose it. And you're the only one that has the power, but you got to exercise that power. Somebody said amen. Let's get back to who we are, folks. You know, in the book of Acts, the devil was afraid of the church's shadow because the Bible says that the believers were more added. In Acts 5:14, that believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and that at the least the shadow of Peter, the shadow. Don't even have to touch them. Peter just walked by. Peter was key fobbing it. Shadow. And a shadow passed. And their faith was so strong that they were being healed. The devil was scared of the church's shadow. Now today the devil wants us to be scared of our own shadows. But that's not who we are. Some of us are waking up. We're being reminded that, you know what? No, devil, I don't have to take everything you dish out. No. That's not how this works. No. You're trying to sell me a lie. But wait, Brother Hawkins reminded me on Sunday morning. I got back in the Word. I was reminded of who I am and who you are, by the way. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Bible says, Jesus said that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall walk around with their heads hanging low. They're going to drag their heels everywhere they go. They're going to come into meetings and crying and weeping and saying, oh, woe is me. I don't think I can make it. No. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they. Here's a newscast for some people that are Holy Ghost filled. You don't have to have a preacher to cast out devils. Amen. I'll come and do it, but I don't have to. You can do it. I mean, come on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you encounter somebody who's possessed or there's a spiritual attack of some kind and your pastor's 2 hours away and preachers are all at work or whatever. What are you? You're a believer. You can speak it over in the name of Jesus. And some of us need to walk through our homes, by the way, and start casting some spirits out of our homes. I walked into a house one time several years ago. I walked into a home. The husband and wife were distraught. They were dealing with some things. They wanted their pastor to be there to pray. had some other people living in their house, weren't serving God. That was an understatement. The moment I walked through the threshold of the door, I said, because even though they had the Holy Ghost, spirits will move in wherever you let them move in. You might be upstairs with the Holy Ghost, and they're downstairs bringing the devil in. As soon as I walked in the door, I felt that spirit. I said, oh, we can pray all we want to, but we got to cast some demons out. Any good exterminator will tell you this too, by the way. You can't just get the critters out. You got to shut off their access. Oh, I can trap the skunk for you, but if you don't shut up that little hole under in the underpinning of your crawl space, they'll just come right on back. So what we got to learn to do is, in the name of Jesus, you go. Some of us maybe walk through our homes, begin to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. What's here? What's trying to move in? What's attacking my son, my daughter? What's attacking my wife? What's trying to attack our marriage? Why am I always feeling like this? What's going on? And the moment you see it in the Spirit, that's the devil's greatest fear, when we have that aha moment in the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute, this is the devil. My wife and I have had so many of these conversations. We'll get into talking about this problem and that problem. All of a sudden, one of us will say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is the devil. She'll lay hands on me. No, I'm kidding. But the moment you see it, it's like you just kind of turn the lights on him. The devil says, uh-oh, now they know. So you begin to bind and you begin to loose and bless your family and bless your home. And listen, some of you, if you got rocky marriages and relationships, stop griping about your husband, griping about your wife, talking to people about your husband and wife, and you get on your knees. And I'll tell you, I guarantee you, it's really hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying for. And it's real hard to hate somebody that you're praying blessings upon. Amen. You start blessing your husband and blessing your wife. Cast that devil out. You watch what begins to happen. I'm talking about who we are. We are the church. We are God's people. We have keys. We have authority. We can speak it and it's going to happen. We can pray and expect it to happen. We can claim the word of God and it's going to happen. How many believe today that you can start kind of raising your head up a little bit and start claiming over your life in the name of Jesus, I'm going to walk before God. I'm going to walk in His word. These signs shall follow them who believe. In my name, Jesus says, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Ah, that's you. That's who you are. I kind of asked the Lord, Lord, how can I end this message today? I wanted to have the end in mind. And rather than just saying, let's find a place to pray or opening the altars, I felt like the Lord said that we need to find somebody. Now, I know we've already prayed for one another, but I'm going to ask you to find somebody else. I'd like to see brothers finding some brothers and sisters finding some sisters. Now, this is going to take a little bit of time, and it's going to push you out of your comfort zone. But here's what I'd like to see happen. This is what I feel led to ask you to do. These folks over here in this section, go find somebody over here in this section. And you here in this section, or this section, go find somebody over in this section. Find somebody that you're not normally sitting around. We're going to stir some things up today. And I want you to, you don't have to ask them their life story. And you don't have to tell anybody your life story. But if you could just find somebody and just begin to pray, Lord, I'm loosing your blessings in their life. God, help us to walk in your power, in your anointing. And then just begin to pray, God, anything that's coming against this sister, I bind it in Jesus' name. Anything coming against my brother, I'm going to bind it in Jesus' name. It's not even 10 after 11 right now. I would like us to not be in a hurry. I feel like we're going to get some breakthroughs here today. And go find you somebody. Would you do it? Take your time. Take your time, but find somebody that you can just pray. You don't have to spit and snort and stomp and jump. But just pray for one another. Just pray for one another.